You're listening to Advocate Radio, and this is the Lake Highlands podcast for Tuesday, August 31st. I'm Carrie Mitchell, one of the editors at Advocate, and with me today are neighborhood columnist Ellen Rapp. Thanks for coming, Ellen.
Hi, great to be here.
And neighborhood blogger Carol Toller. Carol, it's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today we're going to talk about homes, specifically McMansions. There's a rumor going around that McMansions are dead. Is it true, especially in Lake Highlands? Also, if it is true and our homes are getting smaller, that might mean good news if the city council decides to raise taxes. We're going to talk a little bit about both of these things on the podcast today. First of all, McMansions. Ever since the economy started on a little bit of a downhill path, there have been stories circulating that this era of McMansions is over. And McMansions are basically characterized as larger homes, a lot of square feet, usually anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 to 4,000 or 7,000. I don't know. I guess homes can be 7,000 square feet. And they're built usually by, in at least our neighborhoods in an urban area, they're built by tearing down older homes and putting up newer homes. They sometimes look like they might belong, quote unquote, a little bit better in an area like Plano or Frisco or, you know, the suburbs where new homes are built all the time. But these are new homes being built on older lots in more established neighborhoods in Dallas and other areas all across the country. And this week there, or last week, there was a national story about McMansions and that they're dead. The people are not wanting bigger homes. They're wanting smaller homes. They're wanting less square footage. They're wanting to use the space they have as opposed to kind of creating these larger homes. Is this actually true? Maybe it's too soon to say that McMansions are dead. Maybe it's not. What do you guys think? What do you see in the neighborhood?
I see that. I think that they'll probably, it's just a fashion that's changing, and it's kind of inevitable. They're sort of the same thing happening in cars. So, you know,
right.
But also you have to look at demographics. People, a larger part of the population simply is going to be ready to move on to smaller homes, whether or not, no matter what the economy. So that's always been an inevitable change coming up. It is a little strange that, you know, that we do have this sort of, you can look down a block and if there is a McMansion or two on it, how we know distinctly, we can tell exactly when it was built, you know, like there's even the newer McMansions that have different type of wood coloring. And I think that they will just move on and become a relic in a certain, you know, of early 21st century architecture.
You know, Ellen, you have a good point about the cars, because when gas went to $4 a gallon, you couldn't give away a Suburban or a Yukon or a big SUV, or really most SUVs at all. And GM stopped manufacturing Suburbans for a while, and everyone said that was dead forever. And then they're back to manufacturing them, and people are back to paying $50,000 for them. So I do think there's an ebb and flow of that kind of stuff. I do think in Lake Highlands, where we have lots of families with lots of kids, there still are a lot of people that want to have three or four kids and have a bedroom for each and have a big playroom so that all the neighborhood kids are at their house and safe and they know where they are and they're not out roaming the streets. And so I still think there's a market for families with children to have places where they can be the hospitality family of the neighborhood. But there's a lot of people like me that have empty nests that are thinking that, you know, that's more property taxes and more water bill and light bill and heating bill than they're really interested in. I'm thinking about my sprinkler system today, thinking it will never catch up if I run it all day every day, and I'll never be able to pay the bill. So I do think there's a different way of thinking, and I think, you know, there's a lot of people in my situation where the kids are off at college or beyond that are thinking that town center, loft living, stroll downstairs and get a bite to eat and an ice cream cone and meet with some neighbors kind of sounds interesting. So whether it's smaller houses or greenhouses or lofts or whatever, it seems like it's some part of the population is thinking differently. But I think there'll always be a place for a nice big house.
Yeah. I wonder, too, you know, there are some areas of Dallas that have quite a bit of older homes, and in the World War II era or pre-World War II era, they were built. They were a little bit smaller. The homes were not maybe as large as we built them in the last few decades.
And tiny bathrooms, tiny kitchens.
Right. And it's those kinds of, you see some efforts to do neighborhood historic districts or conservation districts, or this little term they called neighborhood stabilization overlay districts, which basically tries to keep the homes somewhat similar and at least have some of the same standards, so you don't have, little home, big home, little home, little home, big home, on one block. I don't know that that's something that Lake Highlanders are necessarily concerned with. What do you all think about that?
There's something to be said for the cohesive neighborhood look. I went on some home tours this past spring, and it was in those historic neighborhoods. And plus, when we all look for our own neighborhood, we would like to see a nice street that has charming homes and houses that all sort of hang together. And so what is the dread of the McMansion going up? Basically just that it's sort of, it messes with the harmony of the look. So I do believe there is something to be said for that. Again, though, we will be living with these for a while here in Dallas. They're here.
And I don't know that in Lake Highlands they're taking down a tiny, charming, to put up McMansion. They're taking down outdated, medium-sized to put up bigger, modern, with more hospitality space, entertaining space outdoors. Entertaining space, areas for kids with separate ones for the adults. So it's not as dramatic a difference from what's taken down and what's put up as there are in some neighborhoods. Lakewood, for example, where you just see things that aren't congruent, and I don't think we have that as much in the Collins. And I'll play devil's advocate. I like new.
There you go.
I like it.
Well, and everyone has different opinions. This is a constant, ongoing. I have to that point. Other than somewhere like maybe the L Streets, where they kind of have the smaller, sweet little family homes that were built as kind of starter homes in the 1960s, 70s. And then you've got an area like White Rock Valley that has some more quote unquote architecturally significant homes. So the Janelle homes, the Hexter does the White Rock home tour every year, and those kinds of things. I guess if you were going to look at those neighborhoods, maybe it's not as great to do McMansions there or whatever. But don't see them there either.
And those lots are bigger, so they can really handle a tear-down redo, and you really never know that something's happened there because that lot was big enough. Where you see the where it just doesn't fit in is where you have these tiny lots, and then they shoot straight up from the street.
Right.
Okay, I just got to say one more thing. Where does the Mick come from in McMansion? Basically, it's a term that most people, we all know what it means immediately, and it's not really that complimentary.
So. Yeah, it does seem to be a derogatory term. I think the Mick obviously has to do with the same elements duplicated over and over again without much originality and personality. However, I've also seen I agree with you, Carol. I've seen plenty of new home builds that are very nice and pretty, and they don't, just because they're big doesn't mean they're McMansions. And just because they're McMansions doesn't mean somebody doesn't have the right to move into a home and build one. So, it hasn't seemed to be as big of a deal in Lake Highlands as it has in other parts of Dallas, and maybe we'll just continue to be that way. So speaking of size, though, we, of course, have to see some of these ongoing debates at City Hall about budget. What's our money going to? Can we, continue giving more or at least the same amount of money to rec centers, libraries, services of those kinds? And so there's been talk of a tax increase. There's speculation as to whether this will actually feasibly happen, that there would be enough city council votes to make it go through. But it's being talked about, and you don't usually hear about tax increases being supported by the citizenry, but that is what's happening. And so, of course, if you have a bigger home, you would be more impacted by a tax increase. If you have a smaller home on a smaller lot, you would be a little less impacted by a tax increase. But, you know, is this something that people are talking about that you're hearing about? Are people in favor of this? What do you guys think? Are you in favor? Put you on the spot.
I hang around the town hall, so I hear people who are actually in favor of a small tax increase, even if it was temporary. And
would it be, do you think?
That, I don't know. I guess I have a little more trust that it could be. I have trust that it could be because, for one thing, we have politicians who really, really don't like tax increases, and they love tax cuts. So if they could cut them, I think they would. But I think what people have to keep in mind is that libraries and parks are part of our property value and part of our city that we, our city upkeep that makes it attractive here for businesses.
You know, it's a quality of life thing, and I agree with you that it has a big impact on property values because I think that's part of the draw to Lake Highlands. But I think what people want is lower taxes and beautiful parks, and I don't know how that's going to happen. You know, I'm a cynic, and I think the man's going to find a way to get his money one way or the other, and if property values go down and homes are smaller, that money's going to come from someplace else. So I'm not very optimistic that there's big savings coming, but I'm glad that our politicians are trying to find a way to keep the doors open, and if it involves a tax increase, I know there are some in favor.
There you go. Well, I think the tax increase that's been bandied about is about 5 cents at the max or something like that.
I haven't even heard. That's the first time I've heard that high of a number.
Maybe
one
that's
or two.
High,
yeah.
High on estimate. Yeah, I was thinking about taxes today. There's some interesting discussion on the blog about whether people favored the tax increase or not, and we'll definitely post a link to the blog with the podcast. But, you know, there was argument as to, I don't want to pay for services that I don't use. Our taxes are already high enough in comparison to other neighboring municipalities. And then, you know, some other opinions about, you know, we have to pay for things that other people we need and other people need. And I don't know, I guess it's just a difference of opinion on, so I think some people view taxes as the same way they do insurance. You know, I don't always need my police department per se. It's not like my house is being broken into all the time, but when it is, I'd like to know. Or, you know, when there's crime in the area, I'd like to know that the police are taking care of it. I mean, and I don't say, like, I don't need the police department, that we don't need constant patrolling, those kinds of things. But I don't interact with the police on a daily basis.
Another one of my favorite examples is schools.
Yeah.
You may not have children in a school, but your property value certainly goes up if the school is good.
Right.
And there are creative ways to pump money from interested homeowners into things like rec centers, libraries, and schools. Wild for Cats is a perfect example. That's the academic booster club that really is modeled after Highland Park, where they said, you know, if we raise taxes, the only thing that's going to happen is that money's going to go to Robin Hood, to some rural district somewhere. So we'll create an educational foundation where dollar for dollar, the money that we donate as homeowners goes directly to the benefit of the kids and teachers and all of that. And they did it very successfully, and Lake Highlands followed suit. I know Pierce has a real successful one as well. Perhaps all the RSD schools do. But Wild for Cats generates, you know, thousands of dollars a year, and that is put right back into the schools. And so, you know, maybe it's a time-consuming effort with a large committee of people, but maybe it's time for Lake Highlands to have something like that with parks and rec centers.
Could be. Friends groups are getting more popular, and it is, I mean, it's the whole idea of, I don't want to pay for things I don't use. It kind of helps that, because if you are a friend of the Daly Road Library, for example, or the Lake Hounds Arts Recreation Center, then you are likely someone who uses it or cares about it too. So we may see more and more friends groups popping up over the next few years too. As
for people have a passion about a certain thing, that's usually the most efficient way to improve things anyway, and
right,
not really the government getting involved.
Well, let's move on to shameless plugs for this week. Carol, do you have any for us?
I do. The Wildcat football team is selling merchant discount cards. They're $10 each, also known as Wildcat cards. They're easy to use, and you get a discount on lots of neighborhood businesses. It's a great way to benefit the team and really all of Wildcat sports, from the junior high, freshman center, and high school, all the different sports benefit. The $10 goes to the card. That goes directly to the Wildcat Club, and in return you get 10% off meals at places like Brothers, Burger Spot, and Picasso's, and buy one, get one smoothies at Smoothie Factory, and $1.99 Cokes at Sonic. That's a bargain.
Great.
Doesn't even have to be happy hour.
Look at that.
There you go.
That's good news. Ellen, do you have anything for us this week?
Yes, I do. I was looking for sour cream at the last minute last Sunday, and there wasn't any at Walgreens, and I just didn't want to go to the grocery store. And wherever I went, anyway, my alternatives, I said, oh my goodness, Brahms. Don't forget Brahms, people. They've got groceries over there, and they had sour cream, and it was a really good price.
All right.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. I love Brahms.
I'm a huge fan of Brahms.
The only thing is I have to have an ice cream cone when I pop in for something.
I know. You have to be strong.
It's going to be fall, too, and I should save this for a plug in the fall, but their pumpkin ice cream is just divine, yeah. I have to say. In the fall, definitely everyone should try it. My plug this week is kind of silly, but it's something I love and think about all the time, and so I'll just share it. I love driving north on Audelia past St. James Episcopal Church. And here's why. Because you kind of drive up, and you see the police station on your right and then the residential area, and then all of a sudden, if you can kind of lose your periphery vision, it feels like you're in the middle of English countryside. And I don't know why this is, but the church, it's just this kind of, grassy meadow and this beautiful stone, almost looks antique-y church. Yes. And it's just, I don't know, I like places that, even though I'm in the middle of an urban area, for just a few split seconds make me feel like I'm somewhere else.
And speaking of fall, they have a great pumpkin festival.
They do.
And that will start pretty soon, I bet.
Yeah, we'll have to
mid-September, I think.
They do a lot of things there. It's a beautiful church. I've never been inside it. I'm sorry to say I've never been to any service. I've been to a couple of events there, but I just enjoy. Thank you to whoever in the history of the church decided to build this gorgeous church and then have all this grassy land. It's just a great place. Thanks so much for listening to Advocate Radio. This has been the Lake Highlands Podcast. We'll see you next week.